Hello and welcome to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
And we are here to tell you about movies in the theater.
All kinds of movies that go to that their theater.
Now, we did say we weren't going to just talk about superhero / sci-fi / fantasy movies, but those are the ones they release this time of year.
In direct contradiction to the things that we said.
Yes. And this, for the first time, but not the last, Adam has seen it. I haven't. I am planning to see it. And the it in question is
Solo, a Star Wars story. As if, like, when they play the somebody would just be like, I wonder what it's. Did they make a movie about the cups? Do you think that. Is it an animated film based on that?
I don't know.
No.
So, to set this up, the scuttlebutt has been it did not do great on its opening day. And by great, we mean millions and millions and millions of dollars still. But people are calling it that it made Fantastic Four money, and that's not a good thing to say.
None of the Fantastic Four movies, like, made this kind of money, at least not in their opening weekends.
Hey, Minion, while we're talking, see if they have released a three-day take yet on Solo, a Star Wars story. Because first they said it's going to make $170 million. Then they said, maybe just $130. Maybe it's only going to make $115. Still, that's a lot of money.
I think the problem that you run into there is because it's a Star Wars movie.
Yes.
Last Jedi crossed the $1 billion mark.
Mm-hmm. In like an hour.
Force Awakens crossed the $2 billion mark. I believe. Whenever they re-released Episode 1, I think it crossed the $1 billion mark. If you adjust for inflation.
Oh.
When they did the 3D re-release of Episode 1. Looking back on it, I defended the prequel movies. I don't think I ever actually loved them. There are parts of those movies that I think are well done.
Yeah. To say that the prequel movies are bad, you do have to
almost kind of quantify certain aspects of it.
Because it's not that we've seen some eye-gouging movies.
Liam Neeson is exceptional in Episode 1. Is Episode 1 exceptional? No. Episode 1 is not exceptional.
No, it is not.
I don't like that stupid pod race. Like, I just can't.
The pod race to me was like, but that's a game. They just made a game.
Like, the all consoles. Tension is lost. I'm like, does Anakin make it out of there? And I'm like, yes.
Yeah,
he definitely makes it out of there. He has to. He absolutely has to.
Mm-hmm.
The lightsaber battle in Episode 1, incredible. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Was all that stupid stuff about Anakin, like, doing tricks while in his starfighter, was that exceptional? No. No, mm-mm. It was nowhere near exceptional.
And was Hayden Christensen in those movies just a bad actor? Or was he trying to echo Mark's first big role, where Mark Hamill was not yet the developed fine actor he became?
And that we know him as.
Yes. Admittedly, and it's part of the fun, he was kind of whiny in A New Hope.
And this is coming from comments made by Carrie Fisher, Harrison Ford, and Mark Hamill. George Lucas is not a very engaged actors director.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, a lot of the coaching that he gives is faster, more feeling. Like, and I know that I'm saying this, and it sounds like you're biting the hand that feeds you, because like I've seen Empire, I've seen Jedi, I've seen these movies hundreds, if not more,
mm-hmm.
times. But as an adult, I can look back on Episode 1, 2, and 3 without any of the benefit of the nostalgia that the others possess, and
correct.
Just sit there and go, okay, this is what's flawed about it.
Mm-hmm.
And to a certain extent, that's what I'm doing with the Disney-produced Star Wars films.
Yes, so now we go back to this. Disney, are they losing out at the box office right now? No. Not at all, because they are getting money from all of the Infinity and the Deadpooling. It's all kicking
the
back
cartoon,
there.
The cartoon series, like the lunchboxes, the video games.
Walt's frozen head is going to stay sentient for millions of years to come.
Like, this is feeding the beast.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
And I haven't seen Solo yet, but I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to make a sequel. How could they not?
I'm going to do my absolute best not to ruin anything, because there were some genuine surprises in this.
Oh, really? Good.
That I did not, like, some of them were just nice, pleasant Easter eggs that, like, I kind of caught, like, when I heard a certain word and I went, oh, that's nice. Towards mm-hmm. the end of the film, there is a moment that I genuinely did not expect, and it's the feeling I got.
Is it concerning the Darth that is not Vader?
I don't want to go into any more than I've said right now.
That's really all I know.
But honestly, like, the feeling I had before I actually saw the prequels, like, I think that may be the last time I've really had that kind of feeling in a Star Wars mm-hmm. film. Like, I wasn't a big fan of Last Jedi. I think a lot of Force Awakens apes A New Hope. Like, mm-hmm. it's a carbon copy. It's like getting to watch, like, your favorite movie, like, in a 4K upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
I love a lot of Force Awakens, but I don't think it's its own film in its own right. I think it borrows so much, like, is the thing that you love about Force Awakens, like, the new characters, or did you love Harrison Ford in The Force Awakens?
Love Harrison Ford?
Was it the brand new narrative that it gave, or was it recycling what they had done a lot of in A New Hope? Like,
and I could go on and on about how I think Rogue One is spectacular in and of itself.
It's its own little contained story.
It truly
and that's what
is.
I love about, like, and it doesn't heavily borrow or necessitate the use of the Jedi mm-hmm. or anything. Like, Darth Vader does make an appearance near the end, and it's exceptionally fun. But if you clip that out of the movie, the film still works.
It certainly does. I could go on and on about my love of Rogue One in that it can do that. But Solo was wrought with drama behind the scenes.
When they had shot, I believe they had said 80% of the movie, they fired the directors, the original mm-hmm. directors, brought in Ron Howard, who ironically enough was who George Lucas wanted to direct mm-hmm. Return of the Jedi. Or no, it was Return or Empire.
And who had worked with him on American
Willow.
Graffiti.
And
Willow.
And later Willow, yeah.
So he and Ron Howard now, he's not little Opie Cunningham. He is an older man now.
Yeah.
And so he knows a little bit of where the characters came from the creator, is what I'm trying to say. What I had heard was the directors that were let go, they weren't following the script, and apparently that's the problem from what I have been told.
Now, if you look at their background, like, I believe they had done a Lego movie, like, I will guarantee you.
And they were younger. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
They were younger and approached it differently than Ron Howard did.
I would say they let the actors go off book mm-hmm. a lot. Because that's the way Lego Movie struck me. Like, even though it's an animated film, I guarantee you it was more of a, I need you to get here by the end of the scene.
Mm-hmm.
This film, Solo, was written by Lawrence Kasdan.
Tell the people who he is, because he's a great guy.
For those of you who are unaware, you need to thank them for your love of Star Wars. If there's anybody besides Hamill, Fisher, Ford, and Lucas that you need to thank, it's this guy.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote Empire Strikes Back. He wrote Return of the Jedi. He wrote Raiders of the Lost Ark. Like, I'm just saying, like, this guy is responsible for probably
how,
like,
our minds work,
the maturation of the Star Wars. I'm just saying, like, this guy is as close to, like, right, like, when he writes it, it's like it's prophecy. Like,
yeah.
And I think you've got Kathleen Kennedy, who was handpicked by George Lucas, has, and this is, I believe, the last thing he wrote before he kind of stepped out of his creative consulting capacity for the new Star Wars films. Going off that is like doing the Ten Commandments, but changing the part with the Red Sea. Like, just being like, no, see, we were going to do that, but we decided it's going to be a boat chase. And then figure that if you were trying to sell that to Charlton Heston. Yeah. Just being like, we know you wanted to do the Moses movie, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But Pharaoh has a speedboat.
Yeah.
And you've got, let's say, a schooner, and there he's just like,
shall not.
You ha. Like.
So Lawrence Kasdan, he's a big deal.
Huge deal. Like, in
and has a lot of street cred.
Yes. Especially in the Star Wars, like, universe, if not, like, in the film universe at large.
Mm-hmm.
When they did that, I think that they probably upset the powers that be.
Mm-hmm.
Kasdan in particular, Kathleen Kennedy, whom I'm guessing sided with the man who wrote Empire Strikes Back, just going, well, let's see. I like Lego Movie guys, all right? But this dude over here is responsible for 2/3 of the original trilogy, which, by the way, is why we're all here right
now. Yes, so you can take your Legos and go home.
And much in the same way that after Gareth Edwards had kind of been escorted off Rogue One in favor of Tony Gilroy, they brought in Ron Howard and Lawrence Kasdan again, and kind of, I guess, righted the. And I haven't seen the footage. Like, I don't know what state the film was in when they got it, but these two were brought in, I think, to bring a more traditional approach to, or I guess, the original vision that Kennedy and the other producers had originally sought out.
Now, I'd like you to you've realized this by now. When Adam Cravens and I talk about film, we just don't say, we saw this movie, we liked it, we didn't like it. And when we talk about films that we know and love, we know a lot about them. That's
like,
what this podcast is all about.
It's like double-clicking on a Wikipedia link. It leads down a rabbit hole.
It certainly does. We can be your Wookiepedia. And, and if you don't know what that is, you've probably already stopped listening at this point.
Yes. I think that's fair. That's fair.
So, and I do want to throw this in. When we do review Parental Guidance Suggested, we're not going to spoil the movie for you. You can trust us with that.
And if I were to say anything that might lead to that, I'm going to give you a warning for about 5 minutes
and
before I do it.
And it'll be totally your fault if you do not
feed. I mean, you will just constantly just hear, I'm like, I'm about to do it. I'm going to do it in, now I'm going to count to 10 and I'm going to say it again. And after I do that, I'm going to count to 10 again and then I'm going to do it. I need to make sure that you've turned off the audio. I will not just blurt it out.
But I'm also going to make assumptions that you know in Titanic, the boat sinks. And in The Crying Game, the chick's a dude.
If it's revealed in the preview, yes. I'm going to assume that you come into it with a certain degree of knowledge like about it. Like the Millennium Falcon shows up in this movie.
Whoa,
I think everybody is aware of that.
And I only know a little bit of the plot, but I know that Han Solo survives whatever danger he's in.
Which is kind of the inherent problem with doing prequel films. Like the actors or characters that you know are in later films can't die. And the actors or characters that are not in the later films, you understand to a certain degree, are expendable.
Yes. Now, the first complaint I have heard from my sister, who loves Star Wars, but maybe not on the level that we do, but has seen them over and over, she says, I don't know if I want to see Solo, because he doesn't look like Harrison Ford.
You've
heard that from other people, though.
Yes,
you have.
The problem, it's the problem
that... By the
way,
the actor's name is?
I don't want to butcher the pronunciation. The guy who is not Harrison Ford, it's...
Okay, Minion, what is the name of the actor who plays Harrison Ford? Because he's...
The actor who plays Harrison Ford...
Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford plays Harrison Ford in real life and in the movies.
That's what you think.
Han Solo?
The actor who plays Han Solo. See, now that's a thing. Harrison Ford is so connected to Solo.
The point I was going to make, Godfather Part II, Robert De Niro had the unenviable task of playing a character that Marlon Brando had played to much acclaim in X-Men First Class.
Solo, A Star Wars Story. Just hand it to me and I'll try to butcher it.
James McAvoy is playing a character once inhabited by Patrick Stewart. Like,
I'm going to say Alden, and I'm going to go with Ehrenreich.
Okay. That's what...
Alden Ehrenreich.
I almost need a phonetic spelling because I don't want to disrespect.
Okay, Alden Ehrenreich. What has he done? Anything else that we would know him from?
He's been in a couple of Coen Brothers movies. He was in Hail Caesar.
We're going to Wikipedia.
Off directly the top of my head.
Ehrenreich is correct. Thank you very much. He was born in 1989. He's from America, and his feature film debut was in Tetro. And that he was in a Woody Allen movie, so he's in a Coppola movie, he's in the Coen brothers, so people like him. People like him a lot. So, yeah. All right, but most people don't know who he is. I didn't know who he was, and I think you needed that to do this. I don't need to see, well, Tom Cruise would be too old, but still, I don't need to see a big name to be solo.
I understand the parlance you were trying to, yeah.
Yeah, I don't need that at all. So I like that, and I don't... From the trailer, I didn't really pick up on everyone. Is the original Wookiee still our Wookiee?
No. I believe this is the Wookiee that picked it up as of Force Awakens.
I see.
Now, keep in mind when the original Star Wars was made. I would say if he did, that Wookiee would be moving slowly.
Well, he is, what, 190 years old?
Well, according to, like, canon, as established by
Peter
this
movie, Mayhew, I guess not. Is he bummed?
Peter Mayhew may actually be 190 years old.
Yeah,
at
he
this
may.
Point.
Like... So, anyway, here's the story of a lovely lady. So, it's about Han Solo. This is what I know, and then you correct. It's about Han Solo.
True.
Some of the timeline is it's roughly 10 years before Episode 4, A New Hope, generically.
I think that I don't think they ever completely establish it, but like working out it in our heads, like a friend of mine and I saw it, it takes someplace probably 10, 20 years before.
And that he is 10 years older than the Vader twins.
I think that's...
And
yeah.
That he met Chewie when he was around 19, and this starts a couple of years before he meets Chewie, yes?
Yes. Yes. I think, yeah. That's
and
all.
That's really all I know about it, and what I have heard as I kept reading. I wanted to read reviews without too many spoilers, because I'll see it with or without the spoiler, but as the weekend progressed, as its opening weekend progressed, the more I read about it was... You may go into it with a meh and come out of it with a, wow, that was really a pretty good movie. And, hey, you should ignore everyone who said this is a messed up movie. And you should actually go see it because Ron Howard knows how to make an entertaining blockbuster.
He genuinely does. Like, this is the Oscar-winning director from Apollo 13, Ransom. Ron Howard genuinely knows how to make an exceptional movie. Beautiful Mind. And, like... As of recently, I don't think he's gotten a lot of the love critically or at the box office. This is a well-crafted movie. The only thing I think the actor that is playing Han Solo in this movie has going against him is that he's not Harrison Ford. He is inhabiting a role of one of the most charismatic and successful actors of the last, let's say, 50 years. Anybody that stepped into that role... was going to have a tremendous amount. If you had not seen Han Solo before, if this character had been newly established in this movie, I think you would find him charming. You would find him funny. Like, you would be engaged.
And
by
that's
this
what
character.
I have read. Once you get past, he doesn't look like Harrison Ford, then there is charisma with the actors. The actors, when they're all together, are fun to experience.
The point that this movie gets to. I don't want to get into too much of it. There's a card table. When it gets to the point where he meets up with Lando is when this movie really shifts into gear. The charm just starts spilling out, and I think it really – the pace, like, quickens, and it's really the point that I thought the movie, once it had to get past kind of its narrative and setup, it was allowed to kind of be the Han Solo movie.
Like, and these are things that you already know. You already know that he's cocky. You already know he's a really great flyer. And you know that he won the Millennium Falcon from Lando. You know that going into. And if you didn't, well, everybody else knew and you just found out. But that's a given. And you know that he ends up with Chewie and adventures ensue.
Over the
And he has problems
yes.
with Jabba. Do we meet Jabba in this? Jabba the Hutt?
Jabba is alluded to in this film, and as I understand it, they have signed most of these actors for multi-picture deals, so that like there's potential for a solo quadrilogy, trilogy, like septology. However long these puppies make money, like Disney will probably keep on making them.
And that being said, they just announced the Boba Fett film. Your feelings?
I am not a fan of Boba Fett.
You don't love Boba?
No. Everything that anybody likes about him is from the expanded universe.
That's true.
The point I've always made to people, because I don't remember necessarily who established this, but it's both in the Star Trek universe and the Star Wars universe. More or less, they've said, if it happens on screen and it happened before in a book, the screen gets to trump whatever the book said.
Yes.
Boba Fett is the worst bounty hunter in the world. And I cite Return of the Jedi. He was shot by a blind man, and he fell into a hole that ate him. Like, he has got the coolest suit that anyone ever died in. Like, it has a jetpack.
Yeah.
All I know is that he's not supposed to disintegrate things. Like, Vader tells him no disintegrations. Like, were the two of them hanging out one night? They got drunk and he kept disintegrating something? Mm-hmm. Maybe someone that Vader liked? Did he disintegrate, like, one of his old baseball cards? I don't know.
We don't care.
Nothing Boba Fett does in anything that is not a video game, a book, a cartoon, or anything else is exceptional. All he does is get shot and die. But grant you, Han Solo. But Han is blind. Han ain't in, like, fighting shape, okay? This ain't Rocky IV at the end,
right?
Like, this is if Rocky had a fought Clubber Lang, but Rocky had rolled over because he was asleep and accidentally tripped him. Like, that's what Boba Fett is.
Now, you'll enjoy this, because Adam desires to be the crotchety old man that my husband has been since he was probably 30 years old.
Jim is my Alec Guinness, and I am his Mark Hamill.
And Jim and I didn't meet when Star Wars came out, but years later, we're talking about Star Wars. He loves the Star Wars, and I'm talking about Boba Fett. And he says to me, "Who's Boba Fett?" And that's when my head exploded. For me, prior to the internet, I think the whole Boba Fett thing happened because of the internet. Because when I saw Star Wars over and over, I knew the guy's name was Boba Fett. I like saying Boba Fett. I think it's fun. If it had been a harder to pronounce name, I like saying Boba Fett. And there was a book, but there wasn't that much Star Wars to consume. So you learned everybody. And I think that's really what happened.
I think he was a cool toy.
I
think he had a great helmet. He had a rocket pack. And, like, there was something that came out of his arm. And I think people built this mythology around something that looked cool. Not because of anything he did.
Yes. And I agree with that. And I think that's why I remembered him, because he looked cool and I enjoyed saying his name.
Yeah. I will grant all of that. I'm just saying, when anybody tries to argue with me, I'm like, what did he do in Empire? That was awesome.
Yeah,
Tell me.
Correct me if I'm wrong. In one of the prequels, we find out that there are a gajillion clones.
Apparently all of the stormtroopers, or at least the ones that weren't, like, taken from their parents' side, are all...
Yeah, so let's say again.
No, they're not Boba. They're Jango. They're his father. They're of Fett lineage.
Yes, so let's hear that again. All of the stormtroopers, except for the ones that were taken from their families, like Finn, because we haven't seen the other Fets.
I don't know exactly when they stopped cloning the Fets.
Why would they stop cloning
them? And they were just
them?
Like, you know what we should do? People already have a bad view of us. We've got to get a PR campaign that is going to wipe that out and is going to get them behind the Empire. Ted, what do you want to do? Let's rip children from their parents' arms and get them into this totalitarian army.
Yeah, okay. Right, let's do it.
Ted, that's a different kind of idea. But yes, let's steal children from their parents. Who's behind this, huh? Huh?
Oh,
anybody want to get force choked?
We're gonna upset
Who
the
wants
Fett
it? You
want
to get force choked? All right, we're doing this. We're doing this.
So we don't know clearly what the Boba Fett movie is going to be, except it's going to be a prequel because Boba's dead.
You know what I would love to see?
What?
I would love it to be just like revealing that that's really what he is. He just keeps tripping into holes. Like, it's like it reveals that he is just as as useless as he is established to be in the original. Like, it's, they get somebody like from
Monty Python. He's a Dagwood.
Yes, they get like somebody from Monty Python to play Boba Fett in these movies. Like,
and he's the butt of all jokes.
Yes,
but
he's got a great helmet.
Yeah.
Disney will probably not go this way. Yeah, and if they were going to call me, they probably just hung up now.
Yeah, probably.
But man, what, I would have some respect. Just being like, guys, I didn't see you doing this. Really thought you were going to go with a killer bounty hunter. But like going with a bit more of a like, wow, that's just exceptional.
So what other ancillary characters can get their spinoffs?
I think the fact that Ewan McGregor is at the perfect age to play Obi-Wan Kenobi while he is in the Tatooine Desert.
Yes.
Like, you don't have to de-age him. You don't have to, up-age him?
I don't know. Ageify?
Ageification?
Or just age him.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah,
I thought there was a suffix.
And
or
I think there is talk of that.
That needs to happen now. Before, it's kind of like when I wanted Hobbit movies,
yeah,
and I was sitting there going, Ian McKellen is not getting younger, guys. He wasn't young when he played Gandalf before.
Mm-hmm.
We are closely, like very, very close to at a time that I don't want to occur, but Ian McKellen is not going to be young. And by forever, I mean he's not young now, guys.
Yes, and they did it, and I'm happy about that.
There's at least 3 hours worth of good Hobbit in those films.
And I am to the point where it's like, I don't want to hear that, you know, Ewan McGregor took a vacation and went bungee jumping. Stop him from doing that until we get this filmed, okay?
Like, you cannot tell me that there is not a film to be had. And I'm not saying a trilogy. It doesn't have to be 9 films. Like, it doesn't have to involve the Skywalkers. Like, let that guy have... Okay, there's gangsters on Tatooine. The Hutts are on Tatooine. You're going to tell me that he just went out there and sat in his hutch or tent or whatever he had up there initially
for 20
years and didn't do anything. You're telling me that guy that could not help himself from just fixing everything. Oh, what's this? I'm going to go over to... What? You've got clones over here?
Yeah, I'm going to fix that.
All right.
Yeah, that needs to happen. And I think that's reasonable and expected. Now, there could be a what's life on Alderaan like? Maybe. I'm thinking way out there.
I want to say one more thing about the Obi-Wan movie.
Yes.
That is not announced and has not said. Rebels, the Star Wars animated series, has been said to be canon. From Disney.
Hmm.
Darth Maul is alive in Rebels. That guy almost certainly has some beef with Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yes.
What for cutting him in half and throwing him down a hole,
mm-hmm.
which is apparently what a lot of Star Wars characters do with characters that are evil.
Yes.
Stick them down holes.
So, Darth Maul killed the guy from Taken. Okay.
There you go.
He killed Scar. No, not Scar.
No.
Another guy with an accent. Sorry.
Liam Neeson.
Killed Liam Neeson. So he killed him. And then Obi-Wan, he cut him in half.
Like,
that's
Darth Maul goes from this beautiful ballet of a dance, like, with the lightsaber that he has used like a surgeon's scalpel for the last 8-9 minutes. And then he just goes to whacking the floor in front of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
And he's done
for. And then he cuts him in half. I'm just saying, who would love to see a rematch between these guys?
What's going on with the Maul family?
Like, just tell me. Or you can make a sitcom called What's Going On with the Mauls.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's about... turns out Darth Maul just decides...
wait. And the Fetts, are their bumbling next-door neighbors?
I think we've solved the Obi-Wan movie, the Boba Fett movie.
Yeah.
I think we've solved
them
all.
All right, now, oddly enough... a half an hour later, we're talking about Solo.
Yes.
And it's a must-see for entertainment. Is it a standalone? Let's say you know nothing about Star Wars, because there are still people who I know say this just to annoy me. I've never seen a Star Wars movie. Whatever. I don't care about you anymore.
You will
Can
not,
you see it?
You will not get all of the asides or they're not really even in jokes. So I'm going to say they're probably Easter eggs. Mm-hmm. There's a lot that's littered throughout here.
Mm-hmm.
That you will appreciate if you are a fan of Star Wars. Like,
but
a
if
lot.
You know nothing, it is a story in and of itself, and you'll be able to get it.
Much in the same way that Rogue One stood by itself.
Okay.
Like, if you get that the Death Star is bad, like, you understand that the Rebels have to have it. Like,
mm-hmm.
you don't get all of that kind of added engagement by the fact that you know what it does in Episode 4, or you know what happens directly after the events of Rogue One.
And do you know why he doesn't like hokey religions and prefers a good blaster on his side?
Without getting into all of this, they do a lot to establish the character that we get to know in Episodes 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Do he and Chewie ever play that monster chess game?
Chewie and he do not, but I will tell you this, and I did not expect this to happen. There's a shower scene with Han and Chewie.
Okay, let's just leave it there.
Yeah, like you'll know it when it's happening, but I was just like, huh.
How about that?
Well, there you go.
Do they ever talk about Ewoks and say, why aren't they baby Wookiees?
No, Ewoks are directly referenced.
And what about the little parrot things that are new? What are those?
I know what you're talking about. No.
It's not a penguin. It's not a parrot. It's that new thing. Okay.
It's the thing that Chewie was going to eat until they were appalled that he was. No.
Okay.
They're not in here.
Do we see any robots we know?
There is a new robot that.
Who built itself, as I understand.
I don't know about the speed. It made improvements, at least on itself. Also, you find out some things about Lando that you did not previously know.
That he likes Colt 45 is what I remember.
Also, might be into robots. I'm not kidding. Like,
all right.
I was just like, wow. Respect, Lando.
Now, do any other women wear their hair in braids around their ears?
If they did, it was in the background, and I did not immediately notice it.
All right, because I would have thought that was a thing of the time. That's all.
It may have just been for really rich girls, because keep in mind, Princess Leia's, her adopted father was, at that point. Maybe it was just big on Alderaan.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
I can see that.
Keep in mind, this isn't just it's not even per hemisphere or state. You're talking about universally. It could have just been a thing that they did in that one particular region of Alderaan.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know.
I get that. Now, it is rated PG-13?
I believe so.
It's certainly not R.
No.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
That'd
be a whole different shower scene, I guess.
Props to Lando Calrissian.
Basically,
at one point in the movie, he and Han are oozing just charisma at one another. I need to see these two, further develop this relationship.
So do you need a standalone Lando?
I would honestly watch it. The character is fascinating. He's deceitful. He's engaging, he's preposterous, and if Billy D. Williams does not get a shot at Episode 9, who else have you mined, failed to mine for these 7, 8, and 9?
Mm-hmm.
You killed Akbar basically off screen, made me about lose my mind.
The voice actor did die. But still,
I'm just.
It's a guy in a suit. There can be another. It's a trap.
Listen, Yoda, Chewbacca, R2-D2. These are all characters that don't necessarily aren't linked directly to a single actor. And I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to insult what any of them have done for it. But this is a character that, like I said, didn't need necessarily. Have to go out because the actor had passed.
Correct.
And I felt it was just tremendously disrespectful, especially considering what happened at the Battle of Endor.
Exactly.
That's all I'm saying.
You think there should be a standalone Sarlacc movie?
I think there's not a lot of places you can go, literally and narratively, with it.
But somewhere someone's going, Sarlacc, you
said. Yeah, slowly digested over the course of 1,000 years.
Yeah, the conversations.
There we go.
Yeah. Okay, so Solo, A Star Wars Story. That's just a funny title to me.
If Star Wars was not what it was, if it was not a billion-dollar franchise that Disney, like the lord and master of franchises, paid George Lucas, was it $5 billion or $4 billion? I forget. It was multi-billions.
Billions.
Who does not know that it's a Star Wars story? Like, I think it's an unnecessary thing. Like, it's like me having to go, have you had a Big Mac? The sandwich from McDonald's. Yeah, you have. Yeah. You absolutely have. Mm-hmm. Han Solo. Oh, is that that gentleman from the Indiana Jones? No. No one thinks that.
Yeah. So, Solo, you should see it. It will be a delightful popcorn fun summer romp.
This film is not necessary to understand anything that happens in 4, 5, and 6. It may not be necessary, but the film is a lot of fun and does not labor undertaking itself too seriously.
Oh, I love that. Now, being rated PG, where do you think the age line is for kids who love Star Wars?
My son is 8, and he watched it with me.
And?
Or one of my sons. He is 8. He enjoyed it. And at no point as a parent was I questioning the fact that I had brought him to see this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars has always been a film that you can comfortably take your families to. And even the aforementioned shower scene was not explicit to the point that I thought Disney had crossed a line.
Correct. Okay.
But no, like, honestly, like, if your kids like space and lasers and swords and lighty swords and, I mean, if they've ever seen a Star Wars movie,
they'll like it.
I think they're going to like this one.
Okay. So, Solo, A Star Wars Movie, you should go see.
I will see it again. I will get the 4K Blu-ray of this. Like, it will be a film that I watch, maybe not as much as, say, Empire, but it's a film that I will find a necessity in revisiting.
And I want to throw this out there as well. People who say, oh, I never watch a movie more than once. I don't understand
you. Well, what are
you
doing with your time?
I know.
Sleeping?
I don't get that at all.
Working? I don't know. I do both of those things, and I still find a reason to watch X-Men 2 at least twice a month.
And they say it to me like they're proud of it.
It's an embarrassment. But, I mean, they say the first step is admittance. Maybe that's what it is.
Okay.
They're coming to you for help.
All right. That's obvious. Okay, so Solo, A Star Wars Story is a definite yes from Adam, and I was going to see it anyway, because why wouldn't I? And that's our advice for parental guidance suggested. No parental guidance really needed on this one. Don't bring an infant, ever.
That's
our parental guidance.
That's just poor planning.
Yeah, it certainly is. So thank you so much for hanging out with us. And at any time you want us to talk more about Star Wars or Star Trek or anything spacey, fantasy-wise.
If it starts with the word star.
We have got you covered.
I don't know that much about Star Command. I'll podcast something about that for
you. Last Starfighter. I'm there.
Just saying.
I'm Jane Ellen.
I'm Adam Cravens.